You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
5:01 to the Southland on a live imaging Tuesday. On Shinato and Cappy, time for What You Need to Know.
Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
More Lakers talk for your afternoon driving moments. But first, take it away, producer Lindsay.
Thanks, Christopher. All right, so we've got big changes coming to LAX ahead of the World Cup and the Olympics. I know that LAX is they're great partners here at 710 ESPN. But according to a new report that was published this morning, they're going to be expanding Terminal 8, Terminal 7, a little bit more than what they originally had planned. And they're going to be standardized. I'm all lost for my words today. The People Mover is going to be a little bit delayed. It's still going to be here in time for the Olympics and the World Cup, but it's not going to open in 2025 as planned. So there you go.
Yeah, it's, you know, but nonetheless, that was the whole point, is to have it ready for when, you know, the World Cup and the Olympics are here in the next couple of years, which is, I mean, the World Cup is in 2 years, so.
Lindsay, is there any, a little bit longer than planned.
Let's run an ATL real quick.
Yeah. Is there any information about Terminal F-U and if that's going to get built or not?
Well, that was my next point. Yeah. It was going to be that they're actually going to start building those terminals immediately.
Okay, they need to.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. So that is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right, here's a tweet from Ian in the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust. I've never seen Ian, but he goes by Young Hershey. And he says, so apparently you can hit someone in the face as long as they don't have the ball, according to at Sedano and the letter of the law. What I'm telling you is that the officials who actually saw this review, okay, and had every angle to it, not the one you just saw on television, perhaps on TNT or Spectrum Sports, they felt the ball was completely out of his hands and already way, you know, like, in other words, the ball was not a factor in the play anymore. And that's when he got hit as he was going for the ball. See, here's the difference. You can get hit in the face or in the head if you're going for the ball. And that's what Michael Porter Jr. did, or at least that's what they determined. That is the letter of the law, okay, of the rule. So you just because you don't like it, that's fine. But if we want to make the case here, look, man, in the first half, you guys got a lot of breaks in the first half from Scott Foster and that crew. So if you want to cry about a call against D'Angelo Russell, you blew a 20-point lead!
Right. That's the key. And by the way,
for the love of God!
Yeah, yeah.
And that play with D'Angelo happened in the third quarter.
Right.
Okay, the third quarter, not
where
with
they had the
1 minute left
lead
in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen.
You gutless scumbag Laker fans that are such homers. You can't take it, can you? This is the reality. This is the reality. Wow. And here's the thing. Like LeBron, like Sedano points out, and Ireland now is pointing out, he's doing the Sedano card. Without LeBron here 6 years ago, things were bad. LeBron did what he wanted, what everybody wanted. Brought AD, made LA Live once again, Showtime-esque, won a championship, whether we want to debate 2020, all that. He's old now. You got your title. Deal with it.
You know, you say he's old, and by saying that he's old, it almost sounds like what we're all saying is that he can't play anymore. He can play.
He can play.
We know he can play. I mean, we all watched him this year, and we were all fascinated. How's a guy at 39 years old able to do what he does? And he can still play. The thing that he can't do is he cannot take an entire team, put them on his back, and beat a team that's better. He can't take four scrubs, throw them out on the floor, and say, just do what I tell you guys to do. And that is what LeBron cannot do any longer. And so listen, he's playing against a much, much better team. And last night was their chance. They had this 20-point lead in the third quarter. They should have wrapped it up. They should have won the game. And by the way, I'll tell you something right now. I think they can win the game on Thursday. In fact, I kind of expect them to win the game on Thursday.
They're not winning.
I would I'll tell you why.
They're not.
No, I'll tell you why.
Here's why they're not. Because their hearts were taken out of their chest. Like that Simpsons episode that somebody posted year in 1992. Their heart was pulled out of their chest last night.
Well, you ever seen Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Isn't it more like Roadhouse, though? Isn't it more like a Patrick Swayze Roadhouse scene?
No, I like the Simpsons, that meme that was used.
Oh. Because I feel like
in the treehouse when Bart gets his heart pulled out.
Oh, because
that's what it was.
Patrick Swayze did that, and
you don't come back from that.
No, you know what though? I disagree. Seriously,
what's going to change on Thursday, Cappy? That didn't happen last night.
Well, all I can tell you is
no. What's going to happen different on Thursday?
I'm going to tell you. So you come home. You've got your home crowd behind you. You've got all the energy, and Denver knows. Hey, guess what? We're going to win this series. They may let down just a hair. Listen, I'm not telling you Lakers are going to win the game by 20. I fully believe the Lakers can win the game on Thursday. Will they win the game? Don't know for sure.
You just said they were going to win the game.
Yeah, I believe they will win the game. That's correct.
I just would love to know how, because here's the problem.
Well, you do realize that they lost the game last night on a last-second shot. They didn't get blown out.
There was never a doubt in my mind they were going to lose that game at any point.
There was a lot of doubt in my mind.
There was never a doubt in my mind that they were going to figure out how to lose that game yesterday.
No, there was a lot of doubt in my mind. I thought they were going to win the game.
Well, they didn't. And at any point that they have the lead, where's their confidence coming from? The Nuggets just pulled out a 20. They were down 20 points, and it was no big deal to the Nuggets. Because I believe they knew, and they believe they were going to win the game.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean, though, that the Lakers can't come back and win the game. Do I think they're going to win the series? Not after the first two games? Not after the last 10 games? No, I don't believe so. Okay. Do I think that the Lakers can win four of the next five? No, I don't really believe that. Can they win the next game? Will they win their first game at home? I think they can. And I fully expect them to win. Because you're coming home. You've lost 10 straight. By the way, at some point, they got to break through. They got to win one. I think they will. And I'm not cheerleading for it either, man. I'm just telling you that
sounds
I think
like
that
you're
they can. Well, I mean, I do
sounds
have a
like
short skirt on, and I do have my pom-poms right here. I mean, I do have my pom-poms.
Well, cheerleaders don't always have to wear short skirts, you know? But...
Well, I mean, I do. I like to wear... I got
fine.
Nice legs.
That's fine. But you sound like a gutless apologist.
Maybe.
So you believe that the home court advantage will be a huge factor.
And the
factor.
Less altitude,
and here's why. Well, and here's why. I mean, listen, if you look at the numbers, you realize that literally, you like the way I said that? Literally, every game in the playoffs thus far, the home team has won.
What are you? They got swept last year.
I understand.
They haven't
that.
Beaten them in 10 games.
That's going to change tonight because I think the Suns are going to win.
Don't you think that the anger that they showed is like a motivation for them? Like, don't you think them getting mad and like AD getting mad and like dropping the mic? Like, don't you think that's him being like, I'm mad, I'm angry, we're going to come back and win? Or you think it's more
come back
like,
and win what?
They're going to win the next game. You don't think so?
I mean, maybe.
You don't think they're using it as motivation, like the anger that they have?
I don't know about that.
They're not those
I mean,
guys.
Motivation is cool, but like you need to be able to out-execute them, which they can't.
LeBron may come out angry, and he's going to do his best, but it doesn't matter anymore.
I mean, listen, here, if we're being honest,
yeah,
okay?
Ahead. Let's be honest.
They played as good a game as they could play
correct.
Against Denver.
That's right.
Anthony Davis at one point was 13 of 14, and by the way, If you want to be critical of Anthony Davis, and I know maybe I'll send myself to Terminal H.
Oh, wow.
Him picking up his fourth foul is absolutely a turning point in the game, okay? Mm-hmm. He caused that. His reckless behavior on the floor defensively caused that, and it shifted the game in a tremendous fashion, okay?
Wow. AD slander coming from you? You should... You know,
no, but you know, I can't criticize anyone. I'm
not
incapable. I just ripped LeBron for his podium etiquette. I did the same thing with the coach, and now I just ripped AD. I mean, of course, but I don't rip anybody.
Let me tell you something. AD should be ripped, and it's not just because he scored 32 points in three quarters, and he only had one shot in the fourth quarter, and he had 0 points in the fourth quarter. Now, you can blame the coaching on that. You can say, well, look, Denver made a switch defensively, and that changed AD and it changed the pick and roll game, and that's something that you got to consider. But I would say this, when you're dominating a game the way Anthony Davis was and he doesn't score 1 point in the fourth quarter, that's a huge problem. And then when it's all over,
right.
to go to the podium
yeah.
and rip everybody, that is the
right.
reason AD should be getting ripped
today.
He
made the comment that there are times we don't know what we're doing on either end of the floor.
I mean, come on, man, really? You got a 20-point lead, and you're going to go to the podium and rip the coach and everybody
and
on
your teammates,
team.
Right?
Everybody.
Yep.
We as a team, and I wish we could play the quote, we don't know what we're doing on either end of the floor. That's...
Hi, Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whose fault is that? If a team of this magnitude, with stars of these levels, of the, making the kind of money that these dudes are making, $50+ million contracts, and you go to the podium after a heartbreaking loss like that and say, there are stretches where we don't know what we're doing on either end of the floor, whose fault is that?
It's all of them, guys, a collective. I mean, the coaches, the players, that's all of them.
That's pathetic.
For that to be the case on April 20, whatever, like, yeah. That's a collective thing. That's not a one-person thing.
Well, but for one guy to call it out like that, ooh, whoa.
Yeah.
Yo.
So, Cappy, coming up next, my friend Zach Harper, who has joined us in the past, he covers the NBA at large for The Athletic. I would say he's a notorious AD skeptic, is what I would call him.
Skeptic, not a critic, you'd say?
Both even, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You send him to Terminal H?
I may. But I want to bring him on today because I feel like today I would want to hear from an AD skeptic. I don't want people to accuse me of always protecting him. I'm going to bring on one of the biggest skeptics and critics of AD in the NBA writing community. And I'm going to bring him on to talk about this series and particularly Anthony Davis's play. So we'll get into that. We'll mix it up with Zach Harper of The Athletic, next.
5:17, Sedano with Cap on a Live Imaging Tuesday, on this Michelob Ultra Reaction Tuesday. You know he's not a survivor after this series. Anyway, right, Sedano?
The Lakers, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On this day in 2001, the number one song in the UK, Destiny's Child, Survivor.
Yeah. Although Lindsay does believe they're still going to win this series. Do I have that correct, Lindsay?
Come on.
You'll see.
Come on.
I thought we were going to see yesterday.
Well, you did.
Well, again, just for those that don't know, so in our group text on Saturday night, you text us a GIF of a guy turning on a switch because you said LeBron's going to turn on the switch, right? And then you there it is. There's the switch. And you text us that, and then the second half, the switch wouldn't turn on. And then yesterday at halftime, you text us, I think they're going to win this series. And then literally everything goes to hell after that. Mm. So we're just saying, you know, there is a, perhaps a correlation.
I think, Lindsay, before you make any commentary in the next game about how well the Lakers are playing.
Oh, stop. Like,
I think you should reconsider. Because just like you say you get nervous, you turn off the TV. I think if the Lakers get a lead, you should, stop yourself from texting us.
Right. There you go. All right, let's bring in Zach Harper of The Athletic, who does a phenomenal job covering the NBA. You can follow him on Twitter, at TalkHoops, also on Instagram at the same handle, and on SiriusXM NBA Radio as well. So as I like to say, Zach is a notorious AD skeptic or critic, we can call him, but we'll get into that in a second. What do you make of Lindsay's assertion that the Lakers are not done down 0-2, Zach Harper?
Could we get Lindsay on the record saying I'll never win Powerball?
Oh, I mean, I will never win Powerball.
No. He wants you to say it for him so that he can win it.
Yeah, Zach. Yeah, he wants you to say Zach Harper will never win Powerball.
Well, I will never win Powerball.
No,
Zach, can you say Zach Harper will never win Powerball?
Oh, you, okay, yeah. Zach Harper will never win the Powerball.
Done.
Ever.
Okay, you're going to be a big winner this week. By the way, I want to partner up with you, Zach. Let's get some tickets going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'll split it with all you guys. Absolutely.
There you go.
Cappy, you're going to win all the Powerballs.
Stop. Don't do that to me. Don't put your jinx on me like you did LeBron last night.
Harper, they have no chance in this series. Dude, can they get a game is my question at this point.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I had them getting swept before the season or before the series. And I'll admit, during the third quarter, I got a little nervous that was going to be wrong. And then everything just started going awful for them. I mean, I fear, you know, LeBron is always great and you can – maybe expect him to take a game just because he's so good. And I do think getting Denver early in the playoffs makes it more likely than later on in the playoffs. But that also feels like a backbreaker last night. Like, that just feels so demoralizing. And the fact that they're going to, you know, the officials and foul calls and everything post-game instead of their own collapse. And granted, that was a bad reversal on that call against D'Lo. Well, I guess that would have been for D'Lo. But it's a bad call, but it's not why they lost the game. And them focusing on that just kind of makes me feel like they don't have a chance.
Yeah, but then, Zach, it's not only the coach and the star player complaining about the officiating. When you have Anthony Davis go to the podium after the game and pretty much tell you, we don't know for long stretches of time what we're doing on either end of the floor, that is a brutal indictment of your team, your players, your coach. I mean, come on, man, really?
Yeah.
In a game, you were up 20. You're up 20, and you come back, and you're like, yeah, we never know what we're doing. I mean, that's crazy. You're right. It is such an indictment, and it just feels like there's a massive disconnect. I mean, I don't know if the roster was put together all that great in the first place, or maybe it is, and they just don't play the right way, because they do actually have a good three-point percentage on the season. They just don't take a lot of them, and I do think that they have to find ways to generate – greater stretches of points. I mean, they did it in the first, 27, 28 minutes of that game last night. So it's there, but they have to find a way to sustain that. Against Denver, I just don't know how you do that.
Look, I think they played as good a game as you can play against Denver, at least in the games they've played. And they still lost is kind of the point. So that's why I have zero faith in them. I mean, AD was, 13 of 14 at one point? Then he gets into foul trouble.
Quarters, yeah. George, all in the first three quarters.
Right.
That's the problem, you know?
He was great. I mean,
Whoa. Did you just say Anthony Davis was great? Because I've never heard you say nice thing about him.
Oh, no. That's not true. He's a really good individual player. I've always said that.
Okay. So then what's the problem?
Yeah, but?
Well, the problem is it's a team game. And so he, you can't go out there. I don't think he makes his teammates all that better on offense, aside from screening. He's an incredible scoring force, and you can go to that all the time. And there is value to him getting the other team in foul trouble, getting to the free throw line so much. There's obviously value in that, and he's a very valuable player. But you also cannot complain you didn't finish top three in defensive player of the year voting and then get torched in the fourth quarter by everybody and give up the game-winning shot, even though it was good defense.
I mean, but here's what we're doing here. Let's have that for that conversation for a second, okay? Who else out there is going to defend is my question.
Well, I mean, that's the other problem, right? Is that they're a mediocre defense, whether he's on the floor or not. He is the best option. It was good defense. Jamal Murray just made an incredible shot, but you're the guy that's got to go out there and defend Jokic, and he just kind of moves you wherever he wants because that's what he does to everybody. And then you go out there and you try to cover Jamal Murray in space, and he kind of does whatever he wants because he does that to a lot of people, and you just look like every other defender.
See, that's the thing about this last shot last night, and I know I'm taking a lot of heat on Twitter for it, because everybody thinks it was perfectly defended and that there's no way that any other player in the league could have defended it any better.
I mean, maybe Wembanyama because he's just longer.
Right, but I would just say this. When you complain that you are supposed to be a defensive player of the year finalist.
Look, he has a real argument to at least have been on the list.
I understand. But what I'm saying is that in crunch time, somebody shot the ball over you and made a spectacular shot. I'm not saying that Murray isn't a great player and that that was a brilliant, amazing play. But had Anthony Davis blocked the shot or had the shot been missed and it gone to overtime, we'd all be talking about what a great defender Anthony Davis is. Instead, what we're doing, Zach, is we're saying, guess what? Good defender as he may be, he did not make that play when he needed to. That's all.
And that's what it comes down to, right? I mean, look, I know George isn't going to like this comparison. Rudy Gobert is one of the best regular season defenders we've ever seen.
Ugh.
He's about to win his fourth Defensive Player of the Year award.
Gobert.
He's incredible in the regular season. When it comes to the playoffs, it's just different. It is. It's just different, and we saw that last night. And some of that might have been foul trouble. Some of that might have been he was gassed because AD had to carry that offense for so much of that game, and he was spectacular early. But you have to play the full 48 minutes or whatever your allotment on the floor is, and he got cooked in the fourth quarter. There's no other way around it. He got cooked.
Sure, but Gobert gets played off the floor. Like, that's my thing. Like, and I know he switches now where he didn't switch in Utah,
yeah.
But, like, my thing about Gobert is he never challenges shots outside of the paint. Like, AD's got to play the entire floor, which is why I always say to people, like, yes, Gobert gets all these awards, but AD is actually a better defender than he is.
George, do you think if the other option wasn't Jackson Hayes, AD would have gotten played off the floor at the end?
No, I don't think that. I don't think. You think AD would have been played off the floor? Listen, let me tell you something, Harper. You know what, Harper? You can go to hell.
Oh.
No, don't send me to hell. Hold on. What happened to Terminal H? Why don't I get to go to Terminal H?
All right. You
know
what?
Pretty much the same place.
You know what? Here's the deal. Get Harper an Escalade, Terminal H. Get him to Terminal H with an Escalade.
At least you're getting first class accommodation.
You and Bill Plaschke. You and Bill Plaschke get an Escalade.
I mean, everybody else gets a school bus.
Yeah.
I get to kick my feet up. I get to pretend that I'm on a conference call with the Uber driver. This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen.
Go to hell.
Hey, okay, so one last thing before you go, Harper. The LeBron shot. I look at it this way. There was nobody within 15 feet of him. Like, he had to do the math in a split second and say, I know there's 16 seconds left, but I'm probably not getting a better shot than this one. How do you see it?
I mean, it's kind of the same conversation we just had about AD's defense. If he makes the play, then we're saying what a great defender he is. If LeBron makes the shot, and granted that shot has looked pretty good all season long for him, we're saying, wow, what a heroic shot. So I don't have a problem with the shot. You could get a better shot. I trust him with that shot. It just didn't go because it's the Lakers against the Nuggets, and that's just how it goes.
He's 47% this year on wide open threes with a defender further than 6 feet from him, and there was no one within 15. So I'm with you. I don't have an issue with that shot.
Means he fails 53% of the time.
Oh, will you stop?
Hey, Zach, before you go, though, but hold on. Think about this. So now we've seen the Lakers get swept last year in the Western Conference Finals by Denver. We've seen them lose the first two games. They've lost 10 straight games to this same team. Okay, so now you got to start thinking about the future of this organization and of this team. If this is the best they can give you with LeBron and AD to get into the play-in and be the eighth seed, and they're going to get knocked out here, presumably swept, but I think that's what most people think, against Denver, what are you going to keep running this thing back? What should they do?
I mean, don't you have to hope at some point? Because I don't know what you can change unless a other star somewhere wants to get there and they can find a way to make that happen. Don't you just kind of have to hope this is the best we can get and maybe we won't run into Denver next time? Because if Denver didn't exist, we would feel so differently about the Lakers.
Agreed.
Title chance.
The Lakers, AD and LeBron bully everyone except Denver. Denver bullies them.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, you have to hope that someone gets injured some year or maybe someone upsets them and you just don't have to run into them because you don't have a lot of time left with this LeBron AD combo. Well, I don't know. Maybe LeBron's playing another 30 years for all I know. But you shouldn't have much time left. And so you kind of just have to hope that fortune falls your way at some point.
Well, look, I thought they should have traded for DeJounte Murray because at least in theory, and I know he was on a bad defensive team this year, but DeJounte Murray Spurs was a good defender. And you needed somebody that can stay in front of Jamal Murray, I thought, for a series. And I thought he gave you a better shot than the guys they have currently on the roster.
100%. Like, he's a really good player. I think you can you can get the Hawks off of him, right? Like, you can delouse him from the Hawksness that is around him right now. If you put him with, like, him defending with AD, LeBron, Austin Reeves, you know, if he was healthy, Vando, like, all those guys within the mix, that's a good team defense, and he could make a real difference. But that's the issue with going with D'Lo. Yes, some nights he hits threes, and some nights he moves the ball, and it looks great, and he can be a really good player, but Murray is a better two-way player, and at this point, you need as many two-way players against Denver as possible.
All right, Zach Harper of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, at Talk Hoops. All right, the Escalade is waiting for you outside, Harper. Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. Hey, enjoy your trip to Terminal H.
Thank you.
See ya. There he is. Zach Harper.
That guy's on his way to Terminal H. He's going to be one of the leaders of Terminal H.
Yeah. Well, he's got him and Plaschke. They have Escalades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting there in style.
So. I know. But if you're in Terminal H, you have to spend all the time with Plaschke.
I mean, he's in there with them, but he's in the Escalade. He's a legend.
He's a legend.
I don't want to disrespect him.
I'm not disrespecting him as a legend.
But that's why I got him there in an Escalade.
Let me ask you a question, though, Morales. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Who's worse? You ready? Dealing with Plaschke or dealing with Dead Meow?
Well, Dead Meow, you could, like, he'll show you how to do, like, you know, sit-ups and stuff like that.
All right. Coming up next, Radio Tinder, and then we're back to calls at 5:45.
We're going to bang calls at 5:45,
but we got Tinder next.
Hey, before we hit this break, though, let me talk to everybody about Prize Picks. Here's my Prize Picks for tonight, because today is a Taco Tuesday. So the game is underway right now between Minnesota. And listen, I'll tell you right now, I am taking this game very seriously for this reason. I have Carl Anthony Towns, and I've got a discount tonight on Carl Anthony Towns. He's got his total number tonight for points is 14.5. His normal number would be 18.5, but because it's Taco Tuesday, they've given you the discount. I've got Cat for 14.5. I've got him for more. I've got Anthony Edwards to score more than 25.5. And tonight in the Clipper game, I've got James Harden to have more than 8 3-point attempts. So listen, if you have not yet downloaded the app for Prize Picks, download it right now. Use my code Cappy, K-A-P-P-Y. That's K-A-P-P-Y. They'll match your first deposit 100%. Up to $100. Now, I want to say this. Thank you to everybody in the circle of trust that is sending me your Prize Picks. When you make your picks, click the share button, put them on Twitter, and hit me up, because I've been cold. I'll take your picks. I'll play them. Download the Prize Picks app. Use my code Cappy and do it right now.
5:30 in the Southland on a Michelob Ultra Reaction Tuesday. Michelob Ultra, 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Radio Tinder is next on 710. 5:33 in your Tuesday afternoon, sucker.
Yeah.
Sedano and Cap time. Radio Tinder time. We like to play a TV theme or a wrestling theme.
Mm-hmm.
This is John Cena's theme. He turns 47 today. Come on!
I don't love John Cena.
I love John Cena.
How do you For not real? Love John?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love John Cena?
I thought his whole bit was kind of lame early.
Can you imagine if that chair I just flung hit Sedano? I feel bad now.
No, I would have stopped it.
Okay, you want deflection.
Yeah. Love John Cena.
I'm not a big John Cena guy. I feel like his gimmick was lame.
Oh, come on, man.
Which gimmick? His first one?
Well, the whole, I can't see you.
That's the most classic gimmicks ever.
I didn't like the jorts. Like, I don't know. It just wasn't my thing.
He still wears them. Yeah. He still wears them. It's great.
It just wasn't my thing. I actually think he's hilarious now.
He really is.
Post-wrestling career. But,
did you see Ricky Stanicki?
I did not, but I've seen clips
really
of it.
It was actually
really
funny. Yeah. I was surprised at how funny it was.
Yeah. He's very funny post-career. I just didn't love his gimmick.
All right. Can feel you on the whole jorts thing. That I can appreciate. But come on, John Cena is great.
Yeah, now he does it because it's kind of like trolling people because it's so funny. That,
what are you eating, Sedano? What are you eating?
Some poke.
Yeah. And I'm starving and I don't want poke.
Poke. Nice.
I'm outraged.
I offered Chris some poke.
I got to make a cup of noodles or something. I'm outraged about it. Anyway, you can follow her at Lindsay Baseball on Twitter or Instagram. Don't forget about our sponsor, Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Founded in the city of Downey. Just like me.
Just like me.
Take it away, producer Lindsay.
Thanks, Christopher. All right, so you know that I'm a dog lover. That's no secret. That's all I talk about. And I always say that I like dogs more than people. And guess what? Our dogs understand us better than they've been given credit for, and scientists say that they actually have brainwave evidence to prove it. So by placing electrodes on the heads of 20 pet dogs, researchers found striking evidence that the dogs did not merely recognize the patterns of sound that come out of the owner's mouth, they actually realized that certain words refer to specific objects.
Okay.
So basically they're saying dogs do understand us and understand what we are saying. So do you believe George Sedano and Scott Kaplan, who both have dogs, that your dog understands you. Swipe left or swipe right.
Well, I would, I mean, ultimately, I do think that they do understand, so I will swipe right. I think it's harder with mine, personally, because he's only 6 months old at the moment. But, yeah, I've had dogs that totally understand, like, what you're saying. They get key words, sure.
This is
I believe
best
that.
Time, because he has such an impressionable brain.
That's right. You're teaching the dog the language right now.
Yeah.
The language of love. Yeah. Come love me. I am also swiping right.
Snuggle with you.
Oh my God, he woke me up again last night at 12:49. I'm like, bro, come on, this cannot keep happening.
You should call the dog bro.
Did you put Benny in the crate?
Did you put him in the crate?
No, I did not.
George, we need more Benny pictures.
But you know what I did learn? So today he was very upset when my wife took the kids to school. He was whining and whatever, and he was like at the door, and I was just like, bro, they're gone. Like, just chill. And I did say bro, yes.
Yeah, you gotta change the dog's name immediately to bro.
Yeah, so I'm like, Benny, come on, dude, you gotta chill. And then it got to a point where it was almost an hour. So I Googled, like, how to soothe puppies, and it was classical music. So I have an Alexa, and I told Alexa, Alexa, give me some Mozart. And dude, amazing. He fell right asleep.
Really?
Yeah, swear to God.
Well, look at that. See?
These dogs are smart.
You know, I will say they do have an app. If you have like a Roku, I think it might be on a Chromecast too, but I have a Roku, and they have an app / station called Dog TV. And my dog loves
it. Oh, I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it before.
I thought it was a bunch of crap, but I'll put that on.
Yeah, DirecTV has it too.
Yeah, yeah, they have balls bouncing all over the screen with music and puppies and stuff. And my dog will just sit there and, like, he's mesmerized by it. He loves it.
Wow. I've never seen that channel, but I know when I leave the house, I'll take Jack the Frenchie and I'll go, hey, man, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be gone for a couple hours. I left the TV on for you. There's a couple of games on. So I leave the TV on for him.
Do you think if we put some Beethoven on right now, it'll relax Cappy? Like, it'll shut him down?
I am pretty relaxed right now, but I could put me to sleep.
No?
It could do that.
I'm just thinking maybe it'll calm you down a little bit.
Which Beethoven do you want to hear? You want to hear Concerto number 6?
Yeah, number 7.
Symphony?
With
5.
An A minor.
Yes.
Oh, and an A minor.
A minor, I prefer.
I was going to say C plus, but you said A minor.
Is that a thing? C plus?
I don't think so.
I don't think it's a thing.
All right, what's next?
All right, so educators and parents are observing a surge in U.S. youths who don't know how to read or write cursive. The handwriting illiteracy has in turn made them unable to perform basic adult tasks like writing a check. So a recent poll by One Poll showed that 70% of Americans actually struggle to read their colleagues' handwriting, while 45% claim they can't even make out their own. I'm definitely in the latter part for sure. Experts have blamed this trend on the rise of digital technology, of course, with many teachers using keyboards in the classroom instead of pens. Do you think that handwriting should still be taught in school, Cappy? Swipe left or swipe right?
I will swipe right. I do think handwriting should still be taught in school, but as you...
There's Beethoven or Mozart, one of them.
I'm chilling out right now, and I'm starting to doze off a little bit. And
it worked for Benny.
I am going to focus. Hey, look, seriously, I don't think you need to be able to write in cursive. I mean,
yeah, cursive seems silly, but handwriting I think is important. Like, you should be able to read someone's handwriting.
Well,
you should
but I can tell
leave
you
a note. You know,
I mean, dude, I write notes all day long, and a lot of times I go back and I look at my own notes, and I'm like, I cannot freaking read my handwriting.
Well, it depends. If I try to write too small, that happens. But if I write like normal size, like big, then it's fine. Well,
have you ever been in the old days? You would go to your doctor, and the doctor would actually handwrite you a prescription.
Yeah,
and you'd
yeah.
be like, you'd take that prescription to the pharmacy, and you'd be like, I don't know what it says,
but they did.
Good luck to you.
Yes, how could they read that?
Yeah. They called. They would call.
Yeah, if they had to.
Oh, really?
They would call.
Oh, I see. Because
remember, he's putting in the notes in your folder or your file, whatever, and then they would call in the secretary or the you know, aides, if you will, would probably sit, confirm. Yeah.
What?
Whatever they call
it. The assistants.
The assistants.
Oh, okay. I got confused.
Put the classical back on for Kevin.
Put me back to sleep, will you?
No. Oh, man.
All right.
I can't read my own writing, for sure.
So, I mean, I feel like, so they're talking specifically about handwriting. I guess handwriting is like cursive, whereas print
right.
is just regular.
Like, my children did handwriting in elementary school.
But did they do cursive?
No.
That's what it is.
You don't need cursive anymore.
Like, you don't need cursive anymore, though.
Right.
But just regular writing is handwriting.
No, it's called printing.
Oh, really?
You don't need handwriting anymore. I mean
my signature is very much a scribble, you know, in a lot of ways.
You know how you sign your name, Lindsay? On DocuSign.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that always looks so fake.
Well, they are fake.
I know. But you can actually, like, trace it.
What is your signature used for anymore, though?
I don't know. I feel like you use your signature on a lot of things. Don't you got to, like, sign your onboarding documents?
Well, when
Word?
You go...
Well, I'm talking about on paper, though.
Sometimes when you go to a lot of restaurants still have paper.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a good, so, good
I mean,
question.
It seems like every time you go to pay at a restaurant now, they bring you that little toast machine.
Or the iPad or something, yeah. Right?
Well, even on the iPad, you got to use your finger.
You got to use your finger. Yeah, but on your finger, you can just like whatever.
It's
like, yeah. He's like, I got to go fast. Yeah.
How's that go?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so our last one here. So scouts have come out in full force to crush Caleb Williams just a couple days before the
Dude, I've seen all of this. It's insane.
We tried to say this.
It's heating up. So
yeah, but it's
you got
some
mad.
Of
you got you
no,
and Mace
but here's
mad.
The thing. Here's what I would say is that this is complete utter bleepery. Okay,
is it really?
Like the reality is these NFL scouts, and most of them
this
are
is such bleepery.
Most of them are anonymous scouts or guys who are no longer scouts, right? And I wonder why you're not a scout anymore. Oh, we didn't like that he cried with his mommy. We didn't think it is. We don't like that he paints his nails. You know what? Grow up, okay? You know what? Deal with it. All right? He's good. He throws the football really well.
Well, you just answered my question. Well, I was going to ask that part. I guess that's like the topic today is one of the former NFL scouts.
Former, right.
Said on a podcast with David Fleming.
His ass is fired.
Right. He said that he called out Williams for crying on the sidelines during a game, saying that raw emotions not only scare him, but will scare a lot of NFL teams looking to draft him.
Oh, ooga booga, gotta be tough guy in the NFL. Rawr, 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 tough guy.
Yeah, well, that's just it. You know, you got old school guys, old school scouts that see a new school kid with, like you said, painted fingernails, crying after a game, hugging it out with his mom, going, wait a second, hold on a second. That's not the way we do it here in the NFL. What's he going to do, lose a game and go crying to his mommy when the Vikings beat the Bears? So, listen.
But is this connected to the scout that Mason read earlier saying that he reminds them, this scout? I believe this was
of Prince
of Russell Wilson, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, no, he actually, this guy said that he reminds him of Prince playing quarterback.
I don't remember.
By the way, Prince was a badass basketball player, so I don't think that's like a diss, like that scout thinks. Maybe that's why he's fired and old and an old fart.
Well, maybe, let's not make age part of this.
Maybe he was a quarterback. maybe
I'm just saying, you're probably some old fart who got fired because you couldn't be contemporary.
Well, listen, we've got a show that sometimes is earlier in the day. Let's not get into that.
Look the guy up. Let's find out who he is.
I mean, Mason dresses like a millennial. Dresses better than any of us.
Well, not better than me on some days, but still. Not today. Today's a Sunday swagger day, which looks amazing, but I'm just saying, you know, he's more casual today.
Today
better is a casual look.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing sweats with
my
pants.
So anyway, I mean, Cappy, what do you think? I'm swiping left on these dumbass scouts.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not surprised by it at all. You know, I mean, I kind of expect it, especially as we're getting into the last couple of days before the draft, and obviously we'll be at the draft, or at least we'll have a broadcast of the draft.
I was going to say, we're going to Detroit? Yeah.
No, we're not going to Detroit. We're going to Hermosa.
I love
it. We're going to Hennessy's in Hermosa. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that they're picking him apart and every last little thing. But guess what? He's still going to be the number one overall pick. I mean, that's why Chicago moved to Justin Fields, because they're taking one of these guys, and I think everybody kind of realizes now it's going to be Caleb.
Are we having your boy Louis Riddick on?
Yeah, we'll have him.
I'd like to have him on. I rocked his jacket yesterday.
You got to turn the mic on.
He sent you that. I did, and then I don't know why I turned off.
Come on, Tulsa.
I had it on. I literally hit it.
By the way, really quick, I want to say happy birthday to my dad.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Yeah, why are you sneaking that in? We should have built that up a little bit more.
Well, because my dad normally listens, but he didn't get a chance to listen yesterday. Plus, we had the combo plate, so he texted me and said he's listening. So I just want to say happy birthday, Dad. Love you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, sir.
We love you, too.
All right, I'm texting Lou right now.
You say Kikuchi.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with it.
I mean, you said Kikuchi. He pitched yesterday. It was a Yusei day.
He's actually really good.
He is really good.
Maybe the Dodgers should have got him.
Instead of Yamamoto.
Maybe.
So, I mean, listen, that's why people thought Ohtani was going to Toronto for a second.
By the way, and I can't wait.
He's friends and tight with Yusei Kikuchi.
I can't wait till Nice Guy Dave does it again in October, and everyone goes, don't blame him, man. What about the players? And I'm going to remember when everybody blamed Darvin Ham.
Oh, right on.
And not LeBron, not AD, not D'Lo, not Hachimura, who couldn't guard Jokic on his... I mean, Jokic could have a broken leg and he'd still score on Hachimura, okay?
We went all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fade.
I'm going to remember this come October.
You're getting faded right now, that's for sure.
You don't want any of the smoke, Coach.
Yeah, no, I mean, they may want the smoke, but and they're not ducking any fades, but they're getting hit with a fade.
Well, they weren't exactly given a choice about the fade.
Yeah. All right, that is Radio Tinder each and every day, approximately at 5:30. All right, we're going to bang some calls.
Bang it. Let's bang them.
We're going to throw you a vine. Lakers reaction, leather couch, Tuesday, 7:10 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
11 minutes in front of 6 o'clock on a live Imaging Tuesday on Sedano and Cap.
Christopher, I forgot to mention our friends at Tequila Mandala are the presenting sponsors, as you mentioned earlier, of Radio Tinder. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small-batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala.
Yes, indeed. On this day in 1980, the number one dance track, The Brothers Johnson.
Come on now.
Stomp.
Oh,
great
yeah.
song.
Uh-huh.
Cappy and I could be grinding disco style of this.
Big time.
That's what the Nuggets are doing to the Lakers fans' hearts right now.
Everybody watching on YouTube right now, they see the moves. You and me got them. Oh, we got them. Yeah, yeah. Oh, get it, big man.
I should have been a disco queen.
You are a disco queen.
Thank you, baby.
Don't sell yourself short.
Maybe this year for the 41st birthday in September, we'll do a full disco party.
Oh, I love that idea. I love that idea. When I turned 40, we did a full-on 70s party.
You should do a roller skating disco party.
Oh, I love that.
DeAndre's already got roller skates.
That'd be a lot of heat.
DeAndre, did you get those new skates?
Not yet. Had some little issues. They weren't fitting right on my feet. So,
can you imagine, Cappy, you mounting me at a disco party in skates?
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
And jorts?
I would love to rock some jorts.
Jorts.
And some tube socks, you know? DeAndre, when we go on roller skating, dog?
Whenever I get my skates, because I went one time and I tried to use rentals and
you can't use rentals.
It was terrible.
Man. Those brown ones with the orange wheels and the orange stoppers.
Yeah, it was all
stopper.
No
good.
Yeah,
where is like a roller derby thing anymore?
I don't know, DeAndre. Where you skate at?
I was out in Hemet.
Oh, in Hemet.
It's far. Yeah,
that's far.
Far.
I mean,
that's really far.
I'm out that way. So.
They don't like people like Cappy out there in Hemet.
That's East LA. Forget about it, man. Oh, I can work. I can go anywhere. I can get in anywhere. It's fine.
No,
believe me. Trust me, dogs. Trust me.
All right, Cappy. We got calls to bang out here.
All right, let's bang them.
Let's bang them out. Let's go to Bo in Corona. Bo, what do you got?
Look, I want to talk to Lakers real quick. Thank you guys for opening lines up. Take a call. I think y'all got it crooked the way you're analyzing what happened with LeBron and AD in the show. AD was exactly right, putting them boys on spotlight, right in the public's eye, letting them know everybody right away. They didn't play their game. I think the referees took the Lakers out of the game. I can count more than the little slap in the face on D'Lo to validate my point. It was at least 6 or 7 plays I count off the top of my head that was referee involved in it that changed up the whole momentum of the game, keeping the Lakers from going up 25 to 30 points instead of the little 20 points. And they knew when they took the foul, took AD out the game, that was going to change the whole course of the game. But the most important part that I want to show.
Well, but AD did foul him. Like he deserved. Like
no, but that was the referee's fault. It wasn't really a foul. It was the ref's fault.
I don't want to really talk to that. I ain't trying to dominate the show. The main thing I called for was to let my boys know maybe you can get to the coaches there or somebody there how to stop Joker. Somebody got to come behind him, block his shot from behind. Somebody got to fall off of their game. When they holding their man, he start wiping back and forth during the lane down low. Somebody got to block that shot from behind because the boy shoot the ball from the back of his head.
No, listen, I don't disagree with that, but I think it's just it's easier said than done because he's such a wide body boat.
Yeah, I like it.
I do like the thought about it.
Block that boy's shot from behind his head. I like that call. Who's that caller? What was his
Bo.
Name? Bo, you're a great caller, Bo. Call back.
Jalen in Monrovia.
Hey, what's going on? I believe that the reason why the Lakers lost is because they totally went away from the LeBron and
AD pick and roll.
Pick and roll.
Yeah. Well, AD also got into foul trouble, so that's a big reason why they went away from the LeBron AD pick and roll.
No, but then in the fourth quarter, they didn't go back to it in the fourth.
But AD missed a big the end of the third and a chunk of the start of the fourth quarter. So
yeah, but didn't they also move Gordon onto AD?
And they did, and Aaron Gordon did a really good job.
And
on
that, hey, DeAndre, you hear that, dog? You hear the way I analyze that for you right there?
Yeah, real basketball.
You hear
talk.
That? That's hey, man, that's watching ball right there is what that is.
Yeah, AD. By the way, yesterday 9 of 10 against Jokic. 1 of 4 against Aaron Gordon, and most of that was late in the game. Yeah.
So, I mean, that change of defense, that what we'll call an adjustment, okay, that changed the dynamic of the offense.
Right.
You know, it really did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if you don't understand that stuff, then I don't know what to tell you guys. You don't know how to watch the game.
There you go, Cappy.
You see what I'm saying?
Mitch, what do you got, Mitch?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for the call.
How you doing?
Oh, my guy.
Hey, how you doing, Mitch?
Hey,
Mitch?
How you doing?
Doing all right. The pizza's great. They let the foot off the pedal. We're going to get our guys. Hopefully, it will be all healthy for game three. And it's just to see LeBron was complaining about the Philadelphia game, too. I mean, he really thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread. He does too much complaining.
He does think he's great. I mean, he is pretty great though, Mitch. There is that too.
Yeah,
I'm sending Mitch to Terminal L.
Oh wow, look at that.
Because he didn't suck up to LeBron.
Oh wow,
because he said he thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Which I mean, come on.
What he is?
Yeah.
No. I said LeBron thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread.
Because he is.
I only put him in the top three.
Wow, not in his top three. LeBron, you're not in Mitch's top three.
That's right.
There you go. Damn. All right, Cappy, we're up against it, so let's kind of get to ready to kind of reset here for the 6 o'clock hour. Because we've talked a lot about the game yesterday. You actually brought up a question to Zach Harper that I want to address on the other side, which is what happens if this thing goes the way we expect it to go now, which is not well for the Lakers, and the series becomes over. What happens next? Like, what are the ramifications potentially of this series? We'll tackle that on the other side, but first, tell us about your friends at East Central.
Well, this is the home away from home. You know, you always talk about LAX. East Central is the home away from home for me. I'll be there on Thursday night because this is exactly why I always tell you that East Central is the best place to stay in downtown LA, because there's a game right across the street. Okay, you don't want to drive home that night. I know I certainly don't. And I'm going to go right across the street to the East Central. And by the way, I'm going to go to the Nixo Lounge. Have you seen on Figueroa the beautiful, I mean spectacular, Kobe Bryant mural that they painted right under the Nixo sign at the East Central? So I'm going to get done with the game on Thursday night. I'm going to go to the East Central. I'm probably going to have myself a nice Tito's and soda with lime. I'm going to have a cocktail. And then I'm going to crash in what is the biggest and most comfortable hotel rooms in all of downtown LA. And then the next morning, I'm going to get up. I'm going to use the brand new gym. I'm going to grab a little breakfast. And then I'm going to walk right across the street. It's the best location in downtown LA. It's the biggest rooms. It's the most contemporary when it comes to art and design. You're going to love it. You're going to have a great time. The East Central Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Entertainment's official address.
You know the thing, Cap, you there?
Tell me.
You saw earlier, Mason and I shared a rib from our friends at Lazy Dog.
It's kind of upsetting,
and
man.
I told him the rooms are big enough to where you could share a rib there with a friend if you want.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Maybe Thursday night in your room, because I don't plan to stay. Yeah. East Central's my home away from home, but I need to get back to Orange County late Thursday night.
Yeah.
But maybe we share a rib.
Listen, I don't like the fact that you're sharing ribs with Mason. I don't like the fact that you're cuddling up with, Bergie in pictures. Okay,
well, that was from the Mandy's last year.
I know, but it's just honestly, I thought we had a thing.
Well, we'll find out, I guess.
I guess so.
More Sedano and Cap in minutes.